Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Built Environment Approaches for Improving Community Health webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. If you'd like to ask a chat question during the presentation, please use the chat feature located at the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator anytime, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Sandra Dietz, Public Health Policy Analyst, APHA. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, everyone. This is Sandra Dietz, and I'm a policy analyst in APHA's Center for Public Health Policy. On behalf of APHA and our partners, I want to welcome you to today's webinar, Built Environment Approaches for Improving Community Health. This webinar will feature two counties, Kane County in Illinois and Manatee County in Florida, that have taken different approaches to changing the built environment around them in order to improve the health of their communities. Kane County and Manatee County are two of the six awardees given funding by APHA as part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Public Health Improvement Initiative. They were each funded for a period of about 12 months to develop and implement the projects they'll be discussing today. I would like to thank our co-sponsors, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, the National Network of Public Health Institutes, and the Public Health Foundation, as well as our funder, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I would like to mention that the contents of the webinar are solely the responsibility of the presenters and do not represent any official views or endorsement by CDC. This webinar is not designed to support or defeat the enactment of any legislation pending before Congress or any state or local legislature. A few reminders, if you have any technical issues at any point during the webinar, please use the chat function, which is on the lower left corner of your screen. You can also use the chat function at any time to submit questions for the Q&A session, which will come at the end of both presentations. A recording of the webinar, along with the slides and a Q&A document, will be available on APHA's website next week, and you will receive an email once these materials are available. CPH credit will be available if you're interested, and everyone will receive an email about this shortly after the webinar is over. I'd also like to thank you in advance for filling out our evaluation survey, which will pop up after the webinar is over. And now I'd like to introduce our first two presenters from Kane County. We have Teresa Heaton, who is the Director of Health Promotion at Kane County Health Department. She will describe the development of the Kane County Master Plan and give an overview of the plan. We will also have Mark Vankerhoff, the Director of the Kane County Development and Community Services Department. Mark will describe the development and activities of the Kane County Planning Cooperative, including the Creating Healthier Communities project. He will also discuss the evaluation of the launch of the cooperative and the effectiveness of the project in attaining its goals and objectives. Now I'll hand it off to Teresa.
Thank you, Sandra. I am really pleased to be here with my colleague, Mark Vankerhoff. And our focus today is to really share our experience locally in fully integrating public health into our land use and transportation decisions. And really, the whole goal for this is so that our built environment does make it easier for our Kane County residents to make the healthy choice be the easy choice. As you can see on this slide, just briefly, the landscape of Kane County, located west of Chicago, we do have the second largest city in the state in our county, and we have just a variety of municipalities, populations, and we have a rapidly growing county. In fact, by 2040, we predict that our county will number 800,000 people. The sustainable urban area in our county, we're a long, narrow county, which follows our Fox River. And so right along the river, north to south, we have our urban area. In the middle, we have what's called our critical growth area, kind of a mix of suburban-urban. And finally, on the far west borders, our rural communities, food farms, and small towns. So our vision here really has to be truly shared, since we have this mix of urban, rural, suburban populations. And our real mantra throughout this project really is, how can we make integrated planning, including health, transportation, and land use together, create a plan that doesn't just sit on the shelf, but is actually alive and known and shared by our residents. Our coordinated integration is really the other piece of the landscape that's important to understand. While the physical landscape is important, the planning and policy landscape that existed when this project started also made a huge difference on how we could implement. And as you can see from this slide, transportation, health, and land use planning has been very active and productive with policies that promote smart growth, compact multi-use development, and including ready access to fruit and vegetables, affordable housing, mass transit, and active transportation.
We're going to take a little time now to give you some background into what led up to the development of the plans. Kane County has more than a 50-year rich history in planning, which is somewhat unique for counties in Illinois. And we also have a long history of county and municipal cooperation in areas of coordinated land use and boundary agreements, open space development, working with park districts and our forest preserve, and particularly the development of regional connected trail systems linking neighborhoods and downtowns to regional greenways and rails-to-trails type long trails into the Chicago region. We also have a long history of transportation and mobility implementation. The county often provides the vision to accomplish things like new corridors and crossings over the Fox River, as well as bicycle planning and transit planning for the future.
The long history of community health planning culminated in 2007 with our new community health plan, and really coming together with all of our residents and with all of our municipal and county colleagues to promote a vision that Kane County residents are the healthiest in Illinois. And actually, that's our vision for 2030. What happened as we addressed the epidemic of chronic disease and really looked at social determinants of health and really articulated to our community that where you live really matters to health, it helped us to engage all residents in thinking ahead to this health vision, which then our project was able to integrate more fully into all planning and policy decisions.
Counties in Illinois, although they have authority to have a regional planning commission and develop a plan for the region and have authority, land use authority for zoning and construction in the unincorporated areas, in Illinois, municipalities really have all the unilateral authority for annexations and making land use decisions. So being a county with 30 municipalities, that really puts the county in a position of vision and leadership and influence. The county has done that historically when it adopted its 2020 plan back in the 90s by having a series of workshops focusing on topics of critical to having municipalities work together, including housing, transportation, and environmental resources. When the county adopted a new plan in 2004, it rebranded the workshop series, again, continuing to target it to municipal officials and plan commission members and people in the development community. So leading up to our current plan with the idea of implementing and integrating community health, launched the new series, the Healthy Communities Workshop Series, in 2009 and 2011. The first series that was launched, we called Healthy Living, and we brought in a well-known rock star, Dr. Richard Jackson. And if you've heard him speak before, he's great at telling the story and leaving a little bit of shock and awe in terms of not only the national health statistics and obesity and diabetes rates of increase, but we had local data to back up the fact that Kane County wasn't doing very well either. And people left that workshop very motivated that we had some issues to deal with and we needed to work together in a broader sense in order to combat these growing epidemics.
Then in 2008, just again quickly, the Fit for Kids campaign was born. Our director of public health worked closely with our land use and our transportation departments, and in fact, all of our decision makers and our partners throughout the county to bring to life this urgency that we needed to reverse the childhood obesity epidemic. And so strategic action principles, as you can see, were identified, and a multi-sector public-private partnership was born to assure that system, policy, and environmental change would continue to be high priorities among all of our residents and all of our decision makers. And this is a process that just is day in and day out growing that vision. A funders consortium was created then to bring commitment to bringing funding for this campaign, and the engagement of stakeholders actually helped us very much in the current project that we are in now as we continue to prioritize and focus on health and the built environment. As you can see in this slide, the Fit Kids 2020 plan that was born then was comprised and developed by 9 sector-specific work groups, as you can see. 97 community leaders worked over a period of months to develop a plan that was then published, adopted, and promoted so that anyone, no matter who you are in King County, you can look and you can see, well, what could I do, or what could my faith community do, or what could my business do, and be a partner in reversing the childhood epidemic.
Well, the Fit Kids 2020 plan brought a lot of energy to a lot of those topics, generated a lot of grassroots support from people in the community, but it still wasn't completely linked to other planning efforts in the county. One of the challenges any entity has in long-range planning is the turnover and changes in the political structure. In this case, as we begin to look at updating what was the previous 2030 plan, only 6 county board members out of the 26 and the county board chairman were even on the board when that original plan was adopted. So part of the challenge was to make sure that they really understood and embraced and supported those policies that were going to continue forward in the new plan. And particularly, we had that opportunity to introduce the integration of health with the existing land use and transportation planning. This report had 12 basic recommendations that were formally adopted by the board and then used by staff as the blueprint for developing the new 2040 plan. Again, part of that launch of introducing integrated health, transportation, and land use planning, we went back to our workshop series. Again, we brought Dr. Richard Jackson back. People are eager to see him again. And in this time, we really heard the importance of land use and transportation and mobility options being critical to long-term health. We then, for the first time, went on the road as the precursor to writing and developing the plans with a big public outreach that included all 3 departments and included a little bit of history on the efforts in the county, the programs that all 3 departments offered right now, including bicycle maps and information on health clinics and current planning efforts, and then more importantly, got feedback and gave them a glimpse at what tomorrow was going to look like with a population of 800,000 people by 2040. This was the first time that all 3 departments had done this together instead of each of us holding our own open houses and meetings around the county. So it was very efficient staff-wise and much more efficient for the public who is interested and engaged in following the county planning processes. Next important step was to have all 3 plans adopted in very close sequence. All programs have specific statutory requirements to adapt the transportation plan, adapt a community health plan, and for a regional planning commission to adapt a regional plan. But how do you integrate those? So we had them adopted in very close sequence with the 2040 plan actually adapting by reference many of the strategies and objectives and goals outlined in the other 2 plans. Real briefly, the transportation plan is actually a series of plans that includes a long-range transit plan, a bicycle and pedestrian plan, and, of course, the roadway improvement plan.
The community health plan was, at this point in time, ready for renewal, and we, again, use a public-private partnership model to bring together entities who used to do their own assessments. And we pooled resources countywide with our hospitals and our United Ways and our public health department so that we had more resources. We could do more in the assessment process, both with questionnaire and with focus groups. And we used that model that included not only medical care and personal behaviors, but also really looking at the built environment and the living and working conditions in our homes and in our communities.
And with 30 municipalities ranging in population from 1,000 to well over 100,000, keeping it simple is the name of the game. So the 2040 plan simply outlines how many people we're going to get, more jobs and households, and some of the main challenges from water supplies, mobility and connectivity, housing, and, of course, introducing the challenge of having a healthy population in the year 2040. The plan itself has always had planning issues chapters to hone in on particular things like historic preservation, water resources, sustainability, and energy. So the 2040 plan specifically has an introduction talking about how we have healthy people, healthy living, healthy communities. The land use and built environment talks specifically about how that impacts health, and, of course, one chapter just devoted to community health. So now we had a good plan adapted and on the table. We received some recognition from our regional planning agency that this was an effective way to plan for this future. So we had the support and accolades of our fellow planners and county board members. But the next question became, how do we really get that out into the communities where it needs to happen?
So as you see from this slide, in the circles to the right, we'd always had plans and we'd always had implementation, but we were all in our three separate areas at the land use, transportation, and health levels. Our goal with this project was to truly accelerate implementation of these now integrated plans in a way that made the plan come alive in the community and create that culture of really focusing on the broader vision that includes health in all decisions.
The previous plans had implementation strategies that included 2 through 4, having the workshop series in coordination with municipalities, but really needed a stronger strategy for reaching out to the communities. And the idea came to mind to actually create a Kane County Planning Cooperative. That number one goal became the central core of the implementation, the goal of integrating the three health, transportation, and land use. But really looking at the current state of the economy and the downsizing of staffs all across the board in municipalities and park districts, that there were real gaps in planning resources that had opened up in the county. Also, with ever-changing turnover on the decision-makers' end, from village trustees and aldermen to plan commission members, really needing to provide education and information on the critical issues facing the county now and in the near future. We really wanted to open up to all partners that are involved in planning, school districts, library districts, anyone who had some stake in planning, and, of course, our most important partners, the municipalities. We also wanted to open it up so we got a broad sense of input of elected officials, planning commission members, and even the private sector staff and people involved with that as well. Some of the gaps that we saw, we list here. I won't go over them in great detail, but, of course, funding is at the bottom of the list here, but probably at the top of the list in most people's worlds. So, again, once again, now we had a plan. We had a concept of having a regional planning commission sponsor this Kane County Planning Cooperative. We have a great big umbrella for a partnership, and we began to identify some of the key issues that we saw from our standpoint, but now we needed to get input and really put this thing to work.
So establishing the cooperative itself was the first goal, and by having staff from all three of our departments meeting with the Regional Planning Commission and being part of the development and implementation of all of the pieces of the planning co-op, it really helped us to meet that goal. Secondly, we really wanted to provide technical assistance for our partners at the municipal level with the six priority policies, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And finally, we wanted to be sure that we evaluated what we did at the beginning so that we would actually be able to quickly and rapidly make improvements as we went forward with this project. Our people are our most valuable asset, and we really wanted to make sure we link them with opportunities for the built environment. The eligible projects that we were able to fund with some funding that we received at this point were focused on health then. This was a new focus for many of our traditional planners in our municipalities, and so as we brought them into the mini-grant process and we launched that through our planning co-op, we got a lot of attention not only to traditional planners but also to other partners and sectors that might be interested in these areas. The mini-grants asked planners to submit applications that fit those priorities, but in any one of these planning phases that you see on the slide here, this allowed them to identify projects that might have a smaller timeline, which we needed for these for the timeline of our grant, and also it gave us the opportunity to provide technical assistance as they looked for what might be the opportunities right here and now for our park district, for our municipality, for our school, our hospital. As you can see on this slide, the mini-grants were awarded to these parties, and you can see that the projects range from trails planning all the way to walkability audits. We had all of our metro stations in the county actually evaluated in one of these projects to determine if they were accessible to bicycles and pedestrians. So a great variety of projects, and we were able to draw on the process we had learned together when we awarded mini-grants through our Fit for Kids project. And so our three departments came together and were able to bring these to the communities. We, besides awarding them, we then provided a lot of technical life of the projects, and we also promoted the projects so that the public and the communities were very much aware of them.
So now we really were ready to launch. Not only could we invite people to the initial launch meeting, but we could we had money in hand to have them apply for, and there's nothing like that to get people to a meeting. We also were able to have representatives from our regional planning agency, CMAP, to share some of the things that they had going on without our partners having to go into Chicago. The very first meeting, we had everyone around small tables and groups that were mixed. So we had private sector developers, not-for-profit agencies, different government agencies, elected officials, and had them work together in those groups to come up with some of the major issues facing them and topics of interest for the planning cooperative to take on right away. So you can see by this word cloud here, stalled developments jumped out loud and clear. So we immediately set forth to do what we said we were going to do, bring other regional resources to the effort here in the county. We partnered up with the Urban and Land Institute Chicago chapter, Elgin Community College, and Metro West Council of Governments to put on a workshop meeting with an expert panel just on development dialogue solutions for failed developments. We couldn't handle it all in one session, so we followed up several months later with part two with a little bit different format, where we had people working around specific topic groups to focus in on things of interest with them. It's kind of like speed dating for topics, so everyone could focus in on their area of interest.
And then the next step was to go to the they came together in the planning co-op meetings, and then we and our three departments went and visited about half of our municipalities in the first year. And the goal there was to meet not only with the planners who had come to the planning co-op, but also to other municipal leaders to make sure we were hearing what their priorities were, to help them see that public health, transportation, and land use were all working together, and to model that for them. We also began to work to leverage our funding and resources, recognizing that as we built these this coalition of new partners and new sectors that came into our partnership, that we would be able to find funding as well as find other ways to work together to make our priorities come to life.
Two quick examples of that. CMAP, Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, is our regional planning agency. They had in 2010, adopted their Go to 2040 plan for the entire region, as well as their implementation included what they call local technical assistance. And in their second round of applications, we worked closely with CMAP so that we could coordinate what projects and communities we were already working with as a county, what projects had come in that CMAP could work directly with, and how we could work together in a coordinated way so that more projects could be done in Kane County by utilizing our staff from our three departments. And it had amazing success. We had 8 out of the 14 submitted projects selected, with being among 45 out of the 88 applications that went in. So we felt very positive about that leveraging effort. Another great opportunity that came our way was the Fit Kids 2020 plan really got people coalesced around the need not only for more local food production, but how to get the local food in the hands of the population's sectors that needed it the most and into kids' hands. And that led us to want to make it some proposed changes to our already existing farmland protection ordinance that would encourage local food production. We were able to get a grant in order to do a health impact assessment for that effort to see what the health impacts would be, as well as the purpose of that grant is to train county staff from all three departments so that we can use HIA as a tool for future projects. This is just a list of what we call our integrated planning projects. Some of these projects reside in one or more of the departments primarily, but all of our departments are working together on these. And it's important to note at this time that really to do integrated projects on a staff level really does take time and effort to remember to work outside of the normal processes that we work with and even figure out which groups and coalitions other departments are working with that would be helpful to bring them into the process.
As you can see the lessons learned here, the main thing is this is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a day-by-day challenge to model and live that integration. And we have learned that if we in our separate departments don't have the regular routine conversations and meetings, the sharing of what's happening, that we will not be able to keep modeling that for our community and keep it alive. So we continue to engage new partners, and we continue to track our successes and our results because the communication of that alone makes things live. Our challenges, Mark, go ahead, sorry.
Sure. Our challenges really include turnover at all levels of elected officials, appointed officials like Planning Commission members and staff from all of our partners, and even turnover on our own staff. And quite frankly, like I mentioned, the collaborative process and grant applications do take more time, although we're finding that those are the applications that are most successful. And then fiscal constraints. All of us are operating with fewer and fewer staff taking on other responsibilities. So to come up with time to devote to projects and grants or grant applications are really tough. And one of our goals with the Planning Cooperative is that it could be a pre-existing collaboration effort and focus of goals that our partners can use as a basis for their applications for funds.
So our future is putting more detailed framework to our planning cooperative in terms of its structure and our decision-making process, to continue to communicate to all of the members of our sectors and our partners, and to really start to showcase not just start, but continue to showcase what is happening so that that vision of being the healthiest residents in Illinois will continue to live. We thank you for allowing us to share our story and be able to focus on integrating public health into all planning decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark and Teresa. That was great. I just want to mention a few reminders, and then I'll introduce our next two speakers. We will be emailing the recording and slides out to you once they're uploaded to our website or an email notice about them. We can also get the links for you to a bunch of the documents that Kane County just mentioned. And please remember to submit questions using the chat function. From Manatee County Health Department, we have Megan Jordan, who is a media liaison and health educator consultant, and she is going to be discussing Manatee County's Complete Streets policy, along with Marissa Sheldon, who is a health promotion specialist and fellow in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Public Health Prevention Service. Now I'll hand it off to Megan.
Hi, this is Megan Jordan with the Manatee County Health Department. We are going to be going over our Complete Streets initiative in Manatee County. We work in the Health Promotions Division of our Health Department. We focus on nutrition, physical activity, tobacco prevention through policy and environmental change. Built environment had not been a focus previously, but it seemed like a move in the right direction to complement other efforts in policy and environmental change in our community. Our health department really shifted our chronic disease prevention focus from education to policy systems and environmental change after we received the NACHO Achieve Grant in 2010, which focused on community coalition changes in these areas. So just to give you a brief overview of what we'll be going over today, we're going to give a background on Complete Streets. We're going to go over need in Manatee County, our goals, timeline, results, projected impact, and next steps. Complete streets are designed to accommodate all users, whether motorists, pedestrians, bicyclists, or public transportation users. Complete streets can mean different things in different places, and they may incorporate any or all of the following physical attributes: sidewalks, crosswalks, curb cuts, roundabouts, bike lanes, islands, signage, lighting, aesthetic measures, and many other. The benefits of complete streets include reduced traffic congestion, fewer emissions and improved air quality, enhanced safety, increases in physical activity levels, and an improved sense of community. Complete Streets policies are supported by federal agencies and have been passed successfully in numerous municipalities, counties, and states across the nation. In 2010, the CDC recognized Complete Streets as a recommended policy strategy to reduce obesity. United States Department of Transportation supports Complete Streets, and they released a policy statement in 2010 declaring every transportation agency, including DOT, has a responsibility to improve conditions and opportunities for walking and bicycling and to integrate walking and bicycling into their transportation systems. That policy statement was really helpful in our initiative. This is a print screen of a website that we would encourage you to go to. It's the National Complete Streets Coalition's website. The National Complete Streets Coalition lists 10 specific items as the components of a comprehensive Complete Streets policy, but a Complete Streets policy can take many forms depending on the location and specific goals for that location. The following features are those that we focus on here in Manatee County. Our initiative specifies all users to include pedestrians, bicyclists, and transit passengers of all ages and abilities, as well as trucks, buses, and automobiles. It applies to new and retrofit projects, including design, planning, maintenance, and operations for the entire right-of-way. It encourages street connectivity and aims to create a comprehensive, integrated, connected network for all modes of transportation, and it establishes performance standards with measurable outcomes. So we just wanted to show you a map of Manatee County to orient you to where we're located. We're in Florida. We're on the Gulf Coast of Florida. We're about an hour south of Tampa. Our population is 327,000. We are demographically 87% white, 15% Hispanic, 14% of Manatee County residents live below the poverty level, 24% of residents are over the age of 65. 20% are under 18, and our median age is 43.6. So we were obviously coming at this initiative from a public health perspective, We know complete streets address many issues in many community sectors, but as public health workers, we are most concerned about the health needs of the community. Injury prevention is one of our primary focuses with this policy, and it's hard to deny that many of our roadways are unsafe, whether in a vehicle or walking or biking. And actually, Florida as a state has been ranked among the top three states for the most pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities every year since 2001. In 2010, Manatee County ranked fifth out of 67 counties for bicyclist injuries based on injury per population and ninth for pedestrian injuries. In 2010, Manatee County experienced 146 pedestrian injuries, 8 pedestrian fatalities, 106 bicyclist injuries, and 1 bicycle fatality. We believe one reason for the high pedestrian and bicyclist injury and fatality rates in Florida is the shift from traditional roadways to multi-lane, high-speed streets meant to accommodate thousands of vehicles rather than pedestrians. Obesity prevention was another focus for the Complete Streets Initiative. It's an especially concerning issue as it relates to many other chronic and potentially fatal diseases. Obesity is a problem nationwide. This is the first generation of Americans who are projected to have a shorter life expectancy than their parents, and childhood obesity has more than tripled in the past 30 years. In 2008, more than one-third of American children and adolescents were overweight or obese, and Manatee County is no exception. We have 25% of our youth and 60% of our adults classified as overweight or obese. Unfortunately, the majority of Americans do not meet national guidelines for physical activity. 61% of Manatee County adults and 45% of Florida youth do not meet federal recommendations for physical activity. Complete Streets encourage and facilitate physical activity through increased walking and biking to school or work, as well as walking to and from public transportation stations instead of driving for your full commute. Many Americans are able to meet their weekly physical activity requirements through active transportation to and from school or work, and Complete Streets make it safer for children to walk and bike to school. And our third public health approach to Complete Streets is a focus on environmental health. Vehicle emissions pollute the air that we breathe and contribute to health problems like asthma, pneumonia, lower respiratory infections, heart disease, and lung cancer. Coronary heart disease causes 116.3 deaths per 100,000 in Manatee County, but the National Healthy People goal for 2020 is 100.8. Chronic lower respiratory diseases, including asthma, account for 37.7 deaths per 100,000 in Manatee County, and 7.1% of adults in Manatee County are living with asthma. Complete Streets was a focus for this because Complete Streets lower traffic congestion on the roads by making it easier to engage in active transportation, such as walking and biking, or to access public transportation.
Other potential benefits of Complete Streets include social cohesion, as residents start using alternate forms of transportation aside from driving alone, they will be outside more and better able to connect with neighbors and other community members. An increase in the business economy can result from greater accessibility and linkages between destinations. With greater access will also come better opportunities for new and existing local businesses. People will be more likely to stop in at local shops and restaurants when they are traveling on foot rather than if they have to go find parking or go to and from their cars. Job opportunities will likely increase as well due to the higher demand at local businesses and due to increases in bicycle use and public transit use. There will be a need for bicycle shops and repairs, as well as public transit operators and staff. Property values may increase with the increase in the local economy and walkability of the community. In March 2012, the Manatee County Health Department began a project to collect information on the complete streets in Manatee County. Manatee County hired a planning and engineering consultant with Renaissance Planning Group. The consultant, with the support of a multi-sector work group, was responsible for gathering data, defining complete streets for Manatee County, and presenting this information to the Manatee County Board of County Commissioners, who expressed support for a complete streets policy prior to the project's launch. We've had great support in the community for this initiative. Manatee County Health Department assembled a work group comprising representatives from multiple sectors and interest groups throughout the county. The work group met monthly during the funding period to discuss priorities for future Complete Streets projects and to build community support for the broader initiative. The work group included representation from the Health Department, Public Works Department, Building and Development Services, the Sheriff's Office, the School District, County Government, Area Transit, and local and bicycle and pedestrian advocates, among others. Here is a graphic of our timeline of the consultant's activities. It's probably hard to see on your screen, so I'm just going to narrate quickly what it is showing. Our first task was to present the project goals and expectations. The second task was to create the Complete Streets policy and performance measures. The third task was to create a Complete Streets implementation guide showing our pilot corridors, which we'll go over in the next slide. Supporting the message through a graphic rendering, which shows road widths and typical cross sections, including medians, sidewalks, bike lanes, and buffers. And then the fifth task was to present at a County Board of County Commissioners meeting. We did complete all of these tasks, but not necessarily according exactly to the timeline. We learned through this process that scheduling these meetings, particularly with county commissioners and with several different work group members who are parts of other businesses already, can take a long time, and the scheduling wasn't necessarily as we had planned. So this slide shows our eight priority corridors in the county. The priority corridors were determined based on current crash data in the county, particularly those that involved bicyclists and pedestrians, locations of schools, and potential for pedestrian and bicyclist use. A sidewalk inventory of these roadways measured sidewalk width, determined compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act regulations, in addition to noting fissures and other hazards in the sidewalks. It also looked at the existence and quality of public transit stops and bicycle lanes. The findings of the inventory helped us to narrow down the priority roadways to four segments to focus on for the next 5 to 10 years as funding is available. The findings also guided the development of policy guidelines. And here in this slide, just to go over the markings, the green shaded areas are parks. The dark shading around here is where transit is accessed. The blue triangles, which are around here, those are the triangles. Those are representing pedestrian fatalities between 2005 and 2010. The blue dots, which I know it's hard to distinguish between the triangles, the dots are schools. The yellow and then the pink are the half-mile and one-mile buffers around the schools. Blue lines like these are where there are 1 to 3 bicycle and pedestrian crashes. Green lines show 4 to 6. The light orange right here shows 7 to 9 bicycle and pedestrian crashes. Darker orange like here is showing 10 to 12, and then the red over here is showing 13 to 15 crashes. The next couple of slides are just a few snapshots of some of the areas that we're hoping to focus on for our immediate future. This is a transit stop that has no sidewalks leading to it. This is one area in Manatee County where there are no bike lanes, and you can see that there are two people there riding in the middle of the road. This is downtown Bradenton, right outside the Manatee County Government Building. There are very limited crosswalks there, and you can see the gentleman trying to cross the street where there is no crosswalk. And this is one of our busy six-lane roadways that also has few crosswalks and not even much of a shoulder for bicyclists to use. Our consultant drafted a report, and the work group discussed it last October. The ideas were presented to the Planning Commission in December and the Board of County Commissioners in January. The report included definitions of key terms such as complete streets, roadways, and right-of-way. It included the goals and strategies for the Complete Streets project in Manatee County, roadway exemption guidelines such as those roads where non-motorized users are prohibited by law, criteria for complete streets, performance standards to measure change and progress, and our implementation strategies. The consultant and work group's findings were unanimously supported by both the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners. A policy was adopted in the county as part of our comprehensive plan on April 4th of this year, and the policy went into effect as of this past Monday. Complete streets can have a huge impact on a community when implemented properly. The picture in this slide is from Portland, Oregon, one of the most progressive public health cities in the nation. You can see that the roads are filled with bikers who are wearing helmets, using bike lanes, and with limited motor vehicle traffic and emissions. We hope that Manatee County will be able to use this as a model. With time, the implementation of a complete streets policy will noticeably reduce traffic accidents, reduce pedestrian and bicyclist injuries and fatalities, reduce air pollution, reduce traffic congestion, increase physical activity, and increase local business support by getting more people out on the streets and in the community. Evaluation over time will be essential in order to show measurable changes in the community's health and safety as the roadways change. Our next steps with this project will be to provide information to our partners at the city and state levels regarding complete streets, continuing to monitor funding availability to support our initial implementation phases, maintaining and growing our partnerships with Public Works, the Planning Department, and our Metropolitan Planning Organization, and, as I previously stated, evaluating health, injury, and crash data over time to determine the success of Manatee County's Complete Streets efforts. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Megan and Marissa. We're now going to spend some time answering the questions that you've submitted. If there are any additional questions you have, please submit them using the chat function. We've gotten a number of questions regarding the efforts that each county has taken to evaluate their projects. So, Kane County, if you want to address that first, and then Manatee County. Thanks.
We actually had, as part of our grant funding, we built in an evaluation that was conducted by the Northern Illinois University. And so that initial report we just completed, and we will use that and are using that to help to form our next steps. We will need to build in an ongoing evaluation for the ongoing implementation of the planning co-op.
Our evaluation hasn't quite started yet since we haven't implemented the actual Complete Streets construction projects, but we are planning to measure it yearly based on the crash and injury data on those specific roadways, and then also looking at our county health rankings showing obesity, physical activity, and also looking at the local business economy.
Thank you. Another question we have is, in your county, this is also for both of you, in your counties, was the public health sector a new actor at the planning table, or has health been involved all along?
Or new.
This is Kane County. Health has always been part of the planning community, but it wasn't until as Mark described, until we actually consciously integrated the health priorities into the land use plan along with transportation issues, that we really had this integrated model. Mark?
Yeah, I would say they were, when I've been with the county for 19 years and definitely was aware of the activities of the other departments, wasn't until more recently that we were all began working together and even beginning to understand the types of issues and the depth of input needed from different sectors And it really was an exciting process to pull that all together, because I think all three departments' plans were enriched by the input of people who are already involved in the health and transportation planning efforts.
And from Manatee County, this is also pretty new, introducing public health and planning, having us working together, but it seems to be working out very well because we're both working towards a common goal.
Thank you. This is a question for King County. What tips or recommendations do you have to begin implementing a cooperative plan of this nature on a smaller scale in a more diverse culture?
Well, in King County, it really started on two levels, and they could be worked on at the same time, or pick or choose which one is most effective to start. On the staff level, there was some buy-in from the directors of the health department and the development department, seeing that that was going to be critical for having a lasting impact. And more specifically, that was able to be effectively communicated to the county board chairman and some key county board members, who also quickly embraced the notion. So we really had a beautiful combination of high-level staff support and direction to both department staffs and transportation, as well as buy-in and direction from the political bosses, so to speak, to say this is a direction that we want to head. And some of the policy things that Teresa and I both covered early on, some of the conceptual land use strategy report and the public health vision of having King County's residents being the healthiest in Illinois, were some of the early policy decisions that then begin to point down that road of integration. If this is the goal, this is the path we need to follow.
Thank you. A question again for both of you. How has your state health department or state-level efforts been helpful to your success?
This is King County. What we recently have gone through in the last, probably especially the last 2 to 3 years, as we've worked on our community health plans and looked at the state health improvement plans and those priorities, and have worked on various projects and even grant applications, our partners from transportation and land use and health have all been together crafting plans and crafting work plans and objectives that match up not only from our local community priorities, but also for health priorities that are from our state of Illinois. And, Mark, I don't know if there's another perspective from your department.
Well, only to complement that, a lot of the goals that we were developing in integrated planning were also supported and advocated in CMAP's Go to 2040 plan for the region. That's more of the next step up for land use planning, and that people work closely with them. The state had also helped sponsor a Health in All Policies conference in, I think it was 2011. And that really brought a lot of people to the table from different sectors to really see how health decisions are important in a lot of policies, not just planning, transportation, and land use issues, but a whole variety of policies that decision makers make.
And in Florida, actually, there aren't too many state-level efforts going on right now, so we were kind of trying to get things going at the community level and then bring it up to the state level. Just to note, though, we did have to get the State Department of Transportation's approval to get this passed in the county.
Thank you. Another question for both health departments. What are you doing to educate your communities about these different projects?
Mark, you want to talk about the newsletters and
sure.
I can chime in afterwards?
Sure. For King County's standpoint, it's probably important to note that all three departments with our plans and programs have a variety of vehicles for implementing those plans. The Fit Kids Funders Consortium for the Fit Kids Plan, the Planning Cooperative, which the main target of that are municipalities and elected officials and decision makers. We're inviting a broad group to the planning table so that they're all benefiting from each other's input. So our newsletter outreach, which is a growing but ever-changing email list, trying to get press releases and word out through that means. And then we're really trying to, in fact, one of our challenges in the next steps is with the variety of boards, commissions, and coalitions that all our departments are already working with, helping them to see how they fit in with the overall picture, and they're contributing to the goal of having the healthiest citizens in Illinois, but also so that they see that that big picture and get more people to the table.
And on the health side, we also have a Health Matters electronic letter that goes out every month, which can highlight some of these activities. And then we have multiple coalitions that we work with beyond the Fit for Kids. And not only do they get electronic communication, but we actually showcase what we call bright spots so that we tell the stories in small little increments and keep that messaging effective and alive.
Another question we have, also both health departments, what efforts have been made to engage disadvantaged populations both within the planning processes and in implementation?
This is Manatee County. We actually tried very hard to get some representation from either the Homeless Coalition or the Handy Bus System, but we were just unable to get that representation in our work group. We did have a lot of public media efforts so that people would know about it across the county, and that we put up a website looking for public feedback. And so we weren't able to have anyone at the work group table to provide that feedback, but we did put out the information to the general public and didn't really get anything negative back from anyone. And we did look at ADA compliance at the sidewalks.
On King County's end, actually, the health department was way ahead of the other departments in terms of outreach into the diversity of communities that we have in the county. And they were very helpful in designing those open houses that I mentioned that we did on a coordinated effort, and we carefully selected the sites and locations so that they have availability from public transportation. Materials were available in English and Spanish. And we also, much to our staff's chagrin, had very long hours for those so that we could make the time available during the day as well as into the evening hours for people returning home from work and during the daytime for people who might be on third shift.
Thank you. I'm going to field one last quick question to what I think is a quick question to Kane County. How was the cooperative between the three departments first initiated, such as were MOUs used, or was it initiated by a specific actor?
I would say that it was a combination of two actors. Our former executive director of public health came to the county with a strong interest in how to affect lasting changes and health outcomes, and was very convinced of how the built environment impacted that. Our former executive director of development and really the primary visionary on the 2020 and 2030 plans also had been throughout his career very open to cutting-edge ideas in open space and smart growth principles, and bringing those ideas and having King County adapt those on the very front end of those movements coming about. So the two of them had a good relationship and a great synergy in bringing those two together.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you to all of our speakers and all of you who were on the web participating with us today. As a reminder, the recording and slides will be available on APHA's website, and you will receive an email once they are available. There are a lot of questions that we didn't get to, and we'll also try and do our best to answer these and post them with the recording and slides. And please complete the evaluation survey that will be popping up shortly on your computer screen. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a great day.